Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Amabeis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. A Mishnah speaks about an apoitiki. An apoitiki is an abbreviation for apoitike koi. That means when somebody owes somebody some money, some obligation, he designates from where the payment will come. An apoitike koi stands for, this is from where you could collect this obligation. As we will see, there are two types of apoitikis. Apoitiki, there's one type called an apoitiki stam. That means that the loiva identifies an asset from which the malva could collect his obligation. But that doesn't prevent the malva from being able to collect the obligation from other assets. All it does is that the first right of collection is from the apoitiki. But if for whatever reason the obligation cannot be collected from that apoitiki, then the malva could collect from other assets. An apoitiki mefurish is where he identified one asset, and that's the asset from which the loan could be collected. And if something were to happen to that asset, then the malva has no recourse anymore to go to a different asset. So begins the Gemara, Eved she'asa rabbi apoitiki l'acherim. The owner of this Eved borrowed money, and he put up the Eved as an apoitiki. And what he said was that this, and the way most Rishonim, even though it's not clear that that is the opinion of Rashi, but most Rishonim explain the way to understand the Mishnah, is that the Eved is an apoitiki mefurish. That the Eved was identified, this from where you could collect this your loan, only from this asset, the shichroi. And then the owner, and the Gemara will speak about more at length, which one, the first, the original owner, or the malva, freed him. By right, servant doesn't own anything. He didn't do anything wrong. He just happened to be freed. However, says the Mishnah of Neitikon Olam, for proper welfare, Koifin as a rabbi, we force the owner, Voisnoise ben Chayrim, to free him, Koisu Shtar al Domov. And the Eved has to obligate himself that whatever his value is, that's how much he's going to have to pay. He's going to have to pay. Again, we'll see to whom for this being freed. Shimon Gamliel says, "Ein a kaisav el mashachra." The person who freed him, who shouldn't have freed him, now is the one that's obligated to pay for that. And the Mishnah, the Gemara will explain everything. So begins the Gemara. We learned in our Mishnah, Eved she'asoi Rabbi Apoitiki, an Eved that was made into an apoitiki, the shichroi, and then he was freed. The halacha is that the shichroi, and then he was freed. The halacha is that this eved now is free. Ask the Gemara, mi shichroi, who was the one that exactly freed him? Samar Rav. So Rav says the one that Rav explains the Mishnah, who was the one that freed him? It was his original owner, Rabbi Rishon. Says the Gemara, and continuing to explain the Mishnah, Shur Sadin, by right, Ein Eved Chayv Klum L'Rabbi Sheni. The Eved didn't do anything wrong. He was, and therefore the Eved should not be held in any way, responsible. Why? So the Gemara quotes what Rava teaches us. Dama Rava, Hegdish. If somebody put up his shor, put up his animal for an apoitiki, for collateral, and then he was magdish that shor, so the shor has been identified as a collateral. Still, the hegdish is valid, and that obligation falls away. Chametz. The case of chametz is where somebody, the case of chametz is that somebody put up his chametz for collateral, and what happened was that I am holding the chametz of a goy,
there's as collateral. And then Pesach comes. Pesach, of course, I may not have chametz. The halacha is that it takes away, I could just get rid of that chametz. So Shimon Shkop asks that, why is that the case? It's not my chametz. It's just chametz that I'm holding as a mashkin. It's just chametz that I'm holding as collateral. Why should the halacha be that because I'm holding chametz as a mashkin, that it should be, that the issa chametz should fall in it? That it's not my chametz. It's chametz that belongs to the akum. So Rav Shimon Shkop says that we need to understand the halacha of chametz a little more fundamentally. He says the way the halacha tells us to look at the halacha of chametz is that a Jew is not allowed to benefit from any chametz. And even though technically this chametz doesn't belong to me, I am benefiting from this chametz. And once I'm better, and the halacha disallows me to have any benefit from chametz, the shichur. And if the eved, as we're learning in our sugya, was put up as collateral, and then that eved, after the eved was put up as collateral, the eved, the owner of freedom, so mivkim de shibud, doing so takes away that obligation. Ella, as we learned in the Mishnah, but they tikkun ha'olam, we're concerned. Shema yimtzenu b'shuk. The malva may meet the eved in shuk, v'yomelay, and I'll tell him, avdiato, you're really my servant. Your owner really had no right to free you when he had put you up as an apoyteki. And what that will cause is that people will question his yichus and the yichus of his children by saying they're not really Jewish, they're the children of Avadim. And that will cause that people will be mitzi laz on his children. Because of that, koifnes rabbin ha'shoinei, we make the malva oisa oisa ben chayrim and make him to free him. And koisloi evit shtar al domov, but because the malva did this, what she really wasn't obligated to do, the evit in return has to obligate himself to pay back to the owner, to the, this malva, his value. Shimon Gamaliel Eimer and evit koisiv, that's not the evit that has to take that obligation. Alam Shachar koisiv. He didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't the one that freed himself. It was his owner who freed him. And therefore, the owner should be held responsible. I saw that there was somebody who was a religious Jew who was starting to act not as we're supposed to act. And the domestic Eliezer asked him, what happened to you? So he says that, why are you acting in such a fashion? So he said, I have a big Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah is the one that got me to act in such a fashion. So the Rebbe, so the domestic Eliezer told him, Hegdish mafkim de shibud. If somebody is magdish himself, if somebody takes the initiative to live his life, begedusha v'tahara, mafkim de shibud, that is the way that the Yetzirah won't be able to have any influence over him. The Shem Shmuel has a different way of understanding a pidrush, this Gemara of Hegdish Chametz V'Shichur Mafkim Edei Shibud. He says that the Gemara is giving us advice, different ways how we could avoid the Yetzirah. Hegdish is Shabbos. As we know, the Pasuk says regarding Shabbos, Ki Kodesh Hu Lechem. So if a person keeps Shabbos, Chametz, if a person is careful not to eat Chametz on Pesach, V'Shichur represents the shofar that's blown in Rosh Hashanah, because we know under Rosh Hashanah of Yovel, they blew the shofar, and like that, all avodim, everybody went free. If somebody, those are the times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in the calendar, in the year, how we could overcome the Yetzirah, every Shabbos, Pesach, and Rosh Hashanah. Another pshat that I saw is, again, that the Gemara, to be explained al Pidrush, is giving us different ways how a person could become a better Jew. Hegdish. The Rambam says that the Pasuk says in the beginning, Parashas Kedoshim, Kedoshim Tiyu. And the Rambam, famous Rambam, explains that what does that mean? Kaddish Atzmecha B'mutaloch. That a person should, even things that are technically permitted, a person should be mekadosh himself, should sanctify himself. For example, even if something is kosher, it doesn't mean you have to eat everything. The Ramban calls that a novel b'shus ha-Torah. Somebody who is careful to sanctify every aspect of his life. Chametz, a person who is careful not to eat chametz in Pesach. Shichur, the Mishnah says, Ein lecha ben chayrim, elami she'oisik b'Torah. The true free person is the person who learns Torah. A person who's magdish atzmei b'mutalai. A person who's careful not to eat chametz in Pesach. A person who learns Torah, mafkim edei shibud. These are the ways that the person will be successful to overcome the Yetzirah. So again, our Mishnah explained that the first explanation of our Gemara is that what happened here was that the owner who put up the Eved as an apoteki, who put up the Eved as a collateral, then freed the Eved. And now the question, the machlokes in the Mishnah is, the Malva is obviously very upset at what happened here. And the question is, who is the one that's obligated to pay? And the machlokes in our Mishnah, the Tanakhama says that the Eved has to pay, otherwise there's a concern that the Malva is going to put out a rumor about him. And the other one says that the one that has to pay is the original owner, who shouldn't have freed the Eved that he had put up as collateral. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to explain the machloikis, what is the basis of this machloikis? My kavifki, but did mazik shibudish l'chaveri kavifki. If I did harm to something that's been put up as collateral, the masover, the Rebbe Shimon Gamliel holds that somebody that does so, he's chayiv, he's going to be held responsible. And therefore the person, the owner who freed the Eved, harmed somebody else's lien, and therefore he is held responsible. And Marsover, whereas the Tanakhama holds, Potter, that he did that, even though we can't say they did something which is technically nice, he didn't do anything wrong. And therefore he didn't do anything wrong, he can't be held responsible. The one that's going to be held responsible is the Eved himself. Et Menami, and says the Gemara, Hamazik Shibudu L'Chaveroi, this concept of I cause damage to somebody else's, to something that somebody has a lien on me, Bonam Machloikis, is actually the Machloikis of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of Rabbonim. Now, however, says the Gemara, Ula Omer, Ula has a different way of explaining the Mishnah. Mishachroi, who is the one who freed him? Rabbi Sheni, and the second owner, V'rishur Sadin Ein Eved Chayv Klum B'mitzvahs, that the truth is that the Eved should not be free, because until the lien is exercised, and until the loiva gives the Eved to the Malva to pay off his loan, the Malva has no right to free the Eved. He's not the owner of the Eved. Elam Neitikin Oilam, why is the Eved free? Sheyetzel of Shem Shebent Chayrim. Once the Malva freed him, and again, I repeat that the Malva should not have freedom, but he didn't really have a halachic right, but he did. And now everybody assumed that he's free. And because he came into that position, Koifinus Rabbi Voisoysa Ben Chayrim, we now will take the original owner and force him to free him. However, the Eved owes money, owes his value to the owner who really halachically was not obligated to free him and did free him, so he has to pay up for it. It's not the Eved that's chayiv, al meshachar kosev, the one that's freed him. And the Maram Shif makes an interesting observation. He says that although the Mishnah, the Gemara has these two different ways of learning the Mishnah, Rav and Ula, it's not that Rav and Ula are arguing in halacha. They're not arguing in halacha. They're just arguing in the interpretation of the Mishnah. So ask the Gemara, the machlokes here is, we know that the Torah speaks about somebody damages somebody else. But the question is, if the damage is not really noticeable, is that considered hezek? Marsover, shmei hezek. It's considered a hezek. And therefore, the malva, who did something that isn't really noticeable, but it forced the owner to free him, that's enough to be making me held responsible. Well, Masover, whereas the Tanakam holds Loishme Hezek, and therefore, since it's not considered a Hezek, that we could force the Malva to pay, Devu would play. Ask the Gemara, Ula my Tamalam Rav. So why didn't Ula explain our Mishnah like Rav? Amloch. So Rav says that it's difficult to explain the Mishnah as you explain it, because Ula says to Rav, it's difficult to explain the Mishnah like you say, because according to you, Sheni Rabbi Kroisaloi, the way we're learning when it says Kaifis Rav Oisos Ben Chayrim, it means that we force the Malva to free him. But why is the Malva called his owner? The Malva is not his owner. That's why Rav has a difficulty with Ula's Pshat. Rav my Tamil, that's why Ula has a difficulty with Rav's Pshat. Rav my Tamilai Kula. Amalei, so he says, because the way Ula explained the Mishnah, it was that the Malva freed him. But it really, as we kept on repeating, wasn't a halachic significant act. And therefore, he has a difficulty saying the Meshachra Kurisala, that he's titled the person that freed him. He really isn't the one that has the right to do so. Itmar, so says the Gemara, Oysa Soda Aptek, Poitikil Acherim. If somebody puts up his field as an apoteki and then shot for nor, and it was flooded and it's ruined. Amni Shapanod, it's the name of a Moira. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Agav Mishan Nechasim. He cannot collect the debt from other assets. Vavud Shmuel Omer Agav Mishan Nechasim, that it can be collected from other assets. Says the Gemara, Omer Nachma Yitzchak, Mishum Da Amni Shapanohu. Just because he has this name, Ami Shapano, which represents that he said nice things, Oma Shmatzad Lashapirin, does he say something which is not correct? Tetargim Shmatzay, Domele Loyel Pchon Elmazah. We have to explain that he was speaking about, as we mentioned at the beginning of our shir, an apoitaki mefurish. And since he has an apoitaki mefurish that he said that you're going to be able to collect from this property and from no other property. That's why if something happens to that property, he has no recourse. Tanyanami Hachi, Hoysa Sada Paitiki Lacher, if somebody makes his field in a Paitiki to satisfy an obligation, and then was shot for Nor, and then it was flooded, Goyva Mishan Chosim, then he could collect from other assets. Only says the Braisa, in Mamaloi, it was clearly delineated, Loyel Chaproin Elamiseh, that you only will be able to collect from this field and nowhere else, then Ein Agav Mishan Nechasim, he cannot collect from any other assets. Tanya Nami Hochim, Tanya Idok, continues the Maram, Hoysa Sodeya Petukel Bal Choyv, if somebody made his field in Apoitiki for a Choyv, for a loan, L'Ksub Sisho, to collect the Ksuba, Goyve Mishan Nechasim, you could collect from other assets if something will happen to that asset. Shim Gamalel Oima, Bal Chayiv, Goyve Mishan Nechasim. Indeed, a Bal Chayiv, if he can't collect his debt from that asset, could go to other assets. Isha, Ein Goyve Mishan Nechasim. You can't, a wife doesn't go after other Nechasim, and therefore, explained the Rishonim, because this asset is identified as this is the asset from which he could collect his obligation. So therefore, the halacha is, the husband is not allowed to sell that asset. Why may the husband not sell that asset? Shein daka shalish lachsa alta batadinim. If the husband's going to sell the asset that was identified, that's going to be the apoitiki for this obligation, what's going to happen is that if he sells it, now the wife's going to have to start a din Torah to collect a ksuba from other assets. And women, wives, don't want to have to be in Bezdin and start such a type of action. And therefore, the asset remains obligated to that ksuba, and the husband may not sell it under any circumstances. Says the Mishnah, Mishnah Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrim, if there's an individual who's a half Eved and a half Ben Chayrim, so says the Mishnah, Oyver is Rabbi Yamechad, it's Atma Yamechad. He works for his owner one day, and he works for himself one day. Divrei Beis Hillel, so is the opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, I can't accept this, because to Kantemus Rabbi, what you've done is wonderful for the owner. Because the owner, what happened here was, as we're going to see, there were partners who who owned an Eved together. One freed the Eved, one didn't. So the one that freed him. And the one that didn't free him. And he's going to work for that person the days, half the time. But however, as Atzmai, this individual, this Eved, Leitakantem, is not in a good place. Why? Lisa Shevcha Yevcha. He can't marry a Shevcha Kananis, because only an Eved Kanani can marry a Shevcha Kananis. But this person is half free. And a person who's half free, Shekva Chetzi Becharim, a regular Jew, is not allowed to marry a Shevcha Kananis. On the other hand, Bas Chayoni Efshaloi, he can't marry a regular Jewish woman, because Shekva Chetzi Eved. Yvatel, should we suggest that he shouldn't get married altogether? That isn't a legitimate explanation. The world was created that people should have children, and when this individual is unable to get married, as the pasuk says, in order to give this person an option, we force the owner to free him. The kaisiv, but this Eved will have to write to this owner that freed him because of this reason, shtar chetzi damav, this half of his value, and concludes the Mishnah, v'chazru Beis Hillel l'horis k'divri Beis Shammai. Ultimately, Beis Hillel agreed with Beis Shammai. So Tosfos asked the question, the Mishnah, when it wants to say how leaving the Eved in this untenable position that he can't get married, the pasuk says, the world was created to populate, and this person can't get married. So ask Tosfos, what about the mitzvah Pirei Rivia? That's a pasuk in the Torah. Why didn't the Mishnah quote that pasuk? So Tosfos answers a number of tirutzim. One teretz Tosfos suggests is that Pirei Rivia is indeed a mitzvah. But if you can't fulfill a mitzvah, you can't fulfill a mitzvah. So if the Eved is in this type of a situation, so he won't get married and he won't have children. But once the Torah told us, that the world was created in order that we should be able to populate the world and have children, so it's not an option to say, well, if you can't do the mitzvah, you're not obligated to do a mitzvah. Another Tosfos says is that the proof that Puravu is not to be treated like any other mitzvah, and that if a mitzvah can't be fulfilled, so you can't fulfill it, is that Pirei Rivia is a mitzvah that you have to do whatever you can to be able to fulfill it, is by saying, by bringing the pasuk of Leisabra El L'Shevz Yitzara. In other words, what Tosfos is saying is that what's the way we know how so significant is the mitzvah of getting married? Because of the pasuk Leisabra El L'Shevz Yitzara. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests is that he's 50% Eved. And if he's 50% Eved, he's not mechuyev in mitzvahs. So he's not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Pirei Rivia. But he is mechuyev in the mitzvah. Everybody's mechuyev in the mitzvah of Leisabro Ela Leshevus Yitzara. So then Tosfos asks, why, if that's the case, why is that the halacha only by an Eved? Why isn't the same halacha by a shivcha? We don't find a Mishnah that says that if a woman is 50% shivcha and 50% free, we force the owner to free her. So Tosfos answers that women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Pirei Rivia. And therefore, since as we just finished explaining, the whole basis of our Mishnah is because of the mitzvah of Pirei Rivia, so if women aren't obligated, then the rule doesn't apply. But others give a different reason. A chatzi shivcha of chatzi beschairin is actually an individual who can get married. Because what's the issue? If the issue is because she's chatzi shivcha, a shivcha kananis can marry an Eved Ivri. And because the 50% that she's free also can marry an Eved Ivri. So she does have an option how to get married without forcing the owner to free her. How? By marrying her off to an Eved Ivri. But then Tosfos asks, that isn't there a rule that ein omer l'adam chatei, we don't tell a person that you should do avera kedei sheyiske chaveroi, that in order that other person should not do an avera. So we learned earlier in our mesechta that our perek, the pasuk says that lo'olam b'em tavoidu, you're not allowed to free an eved. So why are we telling this owner to free the Eved when he didn't do anything? Why should he do the Aveira of violating Lo'ilam Behem Tavoidu because the other person freed the Eved? So there are a number of answers. One answer is that Lo'ilam Behem Tavoidu is not really a deraisa. Another teretz that I saw is that when is there a rule? I don't tell you to do an Aveira just to help somebody else from not doing an Aveira. That's when the other person did something wrong, b'mezid. The famous Gemara, the Masechta Shabbos, where somebody put bread into the oven on Shabbos, and you're not chayiv for a fia until it gets baked. But there's an issa for me to take bread out. So even though the issa of removing bread from the oven is not an issa deraisa, and the person who put the bread into the oven to bake is going to be oiv an issa deraisa once it gets baked, because he did something wrong. Here, the Eved is an innocent bystander. And since he didn't do any, he's an innocent bystander, then we don't say, then of course we have to see what we can do to help this person. There's a story that there was a person who owned an apartment in the city of Lodz. And he had a tenant, and the tenant didn't pay rent. And it was ready a while, and the tenant had still not paid rent. So the landlord, who was a Gerer Chassid, evicted the tenant. And it was a lot of people were talking about how terrible this was, that this individual, this Chassid, evicted the tenant who now had nowhere to live. He had nowhere to be, he had no money. And they told the Rebbe, at that time the Ger Rebbe was the Imri Emes. So the Imri Emes said, the next time this landlord comes to visit me, I will speak to him. And he came to visit him, and he said to him, how did you do that? That you should evict a fellow Jew from an apartment? Why? How could you do such a terrible thing? So the Chassid said to him, but I was left holding the bag all by myself. In other words, what he said to him was that why should I be held, this person hadn't paid rent for quite a while, and why should I be held responsible for him not paying rent for the entire time? And he even told the Rebbe, I would have participated in helping him pay the rent, but what you're asking of me is that I should carry the entire burden myself. So the Rebbe told him, there's a proof from our Mishnah that is the proper way to do things. Look at our Mishnah, he said. This person, this Eved that we just discussed, who's a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Cherem, who he said is an individual who's in limbo, the owner has to free him. And the question is, why does the owner have to free him? Why doesn't everybody have to participate to help this person get out of his situation? What do we see from here? That if you're given an opportunity to do something, then you should do what you have to do. Even if it means that, and you have no right to say, well, I'll participate. You should do everything yourself. And that's what the Torah means here as well. That the Mishnah says that the owner should free him all by himself. It doesn't make a difference anybody else. There's an interesting question that the Paiskim say that Chatzi Shifcha, that this Eved is Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrim, because he's in limbo, we have to free him. The question that I saw that the Paiskim discuss, at what age must he be freed? One could suggest that it should be at the age of 13, because that's the age when he would normally be obligated to do mitzvahs, and now he's not going to do mitzvahs, so we have to free him. Others say that the focus of our Mishnah was getting married. And since the focus of the Mishnah was getting married, and normally Ben Shmoneh Esrei L'Chuppah, only when somebody's 18 years old does he have to get married, so the obligation to free him would only become when he's 18 years old. Our Mishnah also taught us, as we explained from Tosfos, that Loisobro, Loel Shevis Yitzara, and that's why, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah teaching us how important and the world was created to be able to populate the world. And there's a question that the Paiskim discuss. And that is, we know that the halacha is havim vazbeis, ayiz vazbeis, yoysim chaymish. A person is not obligated to give up more than, spend more than 20% for the fulfillment of a mitzvah. So now the question comes up, if somebody can't afford an esrig, it's more than 20% of what he has, he's not obligated to buy an esrig. What about the halacha, if somebody, Rachman Tzlan, Lo'yelenu V'lo'yelechem, can't have children, and he has to go for fertility treatments. And fertility treatments are very expensive. Does a person have to spend more than 20% to be able to have these treatments to fulfill the mitzvah peer review? The Sefer Chashukei Chemed, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, wants to suggest that he maybe would have to. And the reason, he says, is based on what we just learned in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, how the mitzvah of having children, the Shevesh Yitzara, is the most important mitzvah that can be identified. And therefore, even though normally the obligation is up to 20%, here it be maybe more. We also discussed that why did the Mishnah only speak about an Eved, not about a Shivcha? So one of the answers we gave is because a Shivcha is not obligated. Women are not obligated in the mitzvah of peer review. And as we mentioned once, this is the subject of a Paiskim discuss. The Shas HaTshuvas Torah L'Shma, Simon Reis Samech Vav discusses this. If there's a man who wants to marry a certain woman and his parents don't want him to marry that woman, there's a strong point to say that since he has the mitzvah Purur Revu, he's not obligated to listen to his parents. There are, of course, many considerations before we pass in that way. But what is the halacha? What about a woman? There's a girl who wants to marry a man, and the parents don't want. So there, the Shas HaTshuvas Torah L'Shma says it may be very different, because the obligation for a woman in the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim is a chiv daraisa. The obligation, there is no obligation for women to get married. The women don't have a mitzvah of peririvia, as we're explaining in our Gemara. So there, the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim, he says, overrides the woman getting married, and therefore he says this woman has to listen to what her parents say and not get married. There are others that disagree, and there are those that say that a woman, even though she doesn't have a mitzvah peer review, maybe she does have the mitzvah of l'shevus yitzara to populate the world. There are others that say that women actually do have the mitzvah peer review. They just don't have it the same way as men. The obligation of men in the mitzvah peer review is mitzvah v'oisa. They're obligated to do it. Women have a mitzvah, but they don't have it in that way. That they only have it in a way of ein mitzvah v'oisa, that they're not obligated to do it. But it's still a mitzvah. And also the Gemara often talks about a situation of a woman says, I want to have children, that I should have somebody to take care of me when I'm old. So even though women may not have certainly the same level of obligation in the mitzvah Purur Revu as men, they certainly have some level of that mitzvah. And therefore, there are Paiskim that disagree with the Torah L'Shma, and they say that if a woman specifically wants to marry a certain man, even if the parents are objecting, she may have to listen. We also learned, and the Asfan Daraisa from Yosef Engel discusses this, and the question is, if somebody is not obligated in a mitzvah, is he considered an oinus? Is he considered that he's an oinus, or how does the halacha look at it, that he's not an oinus, he didn't do anything wrong? And he wants to suggest that our Mishnah, by saying that the mitzvah of peer review is a unique mitzvah, part of what our Mishnah means to say, he suggests, that only by the mitzvah of peer review, even though the person technically can't do it, we have to do whatever we can to help him be able to fulfill the mitzvah. It's unique to the mitzvah of peer review, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, because peer review comes along with the concept of Loisobro Vashevis Yitzaro. But he suggests when we speak about other mitzvahs, if a person is an oinus, there's a concept of oinus rachmana patri. If you're oinus, then the Torah didn't make you have to do the mitzvah. You're an oinus. And nobody could have any issue if you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Where is this most relevant to? If Rachman Tzlan, somebody's an oinin. And we know that when somebody's an oinin, he's potem and kol mitzvahs. He doesn't daven, he doesn't make a bracha. And let's say somebody was an oinin, and he couldn't daven shachris. That's when it was still before the levaya. And by the time the levaya is over, he could daven mincha. Normally, we know the halacha is that if somebody misses shachris ba'oinus, he davens mincha twice. Will this oinin daven mincha twice? The halacha is that the oinin doesn't daven mincha twice. He missed shachris, and he certainly was an oinus because he couldn't daven because unfortunately he was an oinin. It's not that he was an oinus. That's considered that he was potter. And an individual who's potter from a mitzvah, we don't obligate him to make it up. Because if you're not chayiv, you're not chayiv. The only exception is our Mishnah because of the importance of the mitzvah of peer review. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan Meshachar Chatzi Avdai. If somebody frees half of his Evid, Rabbi Omer Kana, that it is effective, V'acham Omer Loi Kana, it's not effective. Says the Gemara, Omer Rava, Machloikis B'shtar. The Machloikis is that if somebody gave a shtar shichur on chatzi evid. The Rebbe Sover, the Pasuk says, we spoke about this Pasuk the other day, the Pasuk says, in Parshas Kedoshim, vish ki ish kavas isha shichva zera, vihi shichva nechrefes l'ish, vehefta lo neftoisa, oi chupsa lo netnala. The Pasuk is speaking about an individual who's a chatzi shivcha chatzi ben chayrin. That's what the Pasuk means when it says, the hefta loy neftasa. She's podui v'ena podui. She's partially freed. And says the Gemara, makish shtar lekesef. We compare an evid being freed with a shtar shichur to an evid being freed because he was paid out. Makesef ben kul mechetzer. You could pay out 100% of the evid, and you could pay out 50% of the evid. Af shtar nami, so too when ever was freed through a shtar shichur, you could have ben kulay ben chetzyoy, he could be completely freed with a shtar shichur or partially freed. Rabbanan gamri lo lam isha. Rabbanan learned the pasuk, the halacha of a shtar shichur from the halacha of a get. It says here, o chupsalay nitin lo. It says by a get, the kosal asef akrisis for nosim beyodo, the shichur mebeisha. A woman can't be partially divorced. It's either all or nothing. Af evet nami chetziloi. Avol kesef. But if evet was freed by being partially redeemed, the reakul kana that is valid. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, v'heftelein avdaso, peduya v'ene peduya. So we have a machloikis by how you could free an evet partially. Lema kam mafgli. Rebbe, who says that we compare shichur with a shtar to shichur with kesef, says, what is that comparison called, a hekesha? And therefore, we use the hekesh to say that if partial freedom can happen with kesef, it can happen with a shtar as well. Well, my sover, and the other one holds gzer shava adifa, it's preferable to learn gzer shava, and therefore, we prefer to learn shtar shichur from shtar get. Says the Gemara, that's not true. Loi, the Kul Alma, everybody is in agreement with the Gzeres Shava Adifa. That when we have two different ways of learning, we prefer to learn from a Gzeres Shava rather from a Hekesh. And Rashi explains, because by a Gzeres Shava, there's, even if there's a question, if the Pasuk is superfluous, the Gzeres Shava stands. Moreover, Rashi says that Gzeres Shava, we know the Gemara says, a person can't learn a gzeres shava by himself. Elm can kibble him a rabbi. So gzeres shava has the authority of a messiah, and therefore gzeres shava is typically better. Shani hacha dikla mifrach. Why does he prefer to learn from a hekish? Mal ishish can any yotze bekesef. The reason we can't learn the halacha of a woman, of get, of a man, of an eved from a woman, from a eishes ish, because kesef is not a way that a woman can terminate a marriage. Time by eved, she yotze bekesef. And therefore, just like by Kesef, you're in agreement, partial redemption is passable, so too, partial get is passable. Rav Yosef Amar Machloikus b'Kesef. The whole Machloikus is only by financial redemption. The Rav Asava Hefta Loiv Neftasa comes to teach us, Peduya Veina Peduya, if she was partially paid out, it's enough. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan say that pasuk isn't coming to teach us that you could pay yourself partially out. What the Torah means to say we have to learn it also is Dibre Torah Kolash Mnei Adam. That's the way the Torah normally expresses itself. Av b'shtar, when it comes to shtar shichrur, says the Gemara Dibre Hakol, everybody will agree loikana that you can't free an eved partially with shtar shichrur. Meisvei asked the Gemara. So here it says explicitly that the machloikus is even b'shtar. T'yufta to Rav Yosef, t'rifta. And therefore, that Rav Yosef said that they're even arguing by, that there is no argument by shtar. Furthermore, b'shtar hu de pligi, av kesef loy pligi. There's another braisa that says clearly that the machloikus is limited to shtar. But by kesef, it's certainly effective. Lemetav to yufta the Rav Yosef b'tarti. So shouldn't this also be a proof that a refutation to the opinion of Rav Yosef? Amloch, to which Rav Yosef tells you, pligi b'shtar v'hu demekesef. They're arguing in both cases. V'hadig mifkli b'shtar. So why the Braisa only mentioned the shtar? L'diyach ha'kaycha the Rebbe. That says even by shtar, partial freedom is possible. But ask the Gemara if that's what was saying. So why don't we say the other way? Lifli b'kesef. Why don't we say that they're arguing by kesef? L'yachad koichad rabbanon. That the rabbanon not only say that partial freedom is impossible by shtar, but it's even impossible by kesef. Answers the Gemara koich that there are difele. As Rashi explains at the beginning, Amasech Tebeya Daf Beis of Mebeis. When somebody is machmer, it doesn't really represent a strength in learning. Because if I don't know what to do, I'm going to be machmer. But if somebody is makel, that shows that he must have thought it through and is confident that his thinking is right. And that's why we prefer to teach the koyach of the matter, who certainly examined what he thought about and took the responsibility to say what he said. That's something that we want to encourage and want to show is must have been thought out and is an opinion that we want to work with. Tashma, the Gemara asks, the Braisa says v'hefta yochol l'kol, that means that she was completely freed. Tamaloymer loynefdasa iloynefdasa. So we look at those words yochol l'kol, that she wasn't freed at all. Tamaloym v'hefta. So ask the Braisa haketzed, how do we reconcile the two words v'hefta loynefdasa peduya? She's just partially freed. Bekesef, Rishav Bekesef, that she was partially paid out. Only Ella Bekesef, B'shtar Menayin. How do we know that this is possible only with financial? How do we know that so is possible even with shtar? Tamalim v'hefta le'nefdasa, a'chupsa le'nutanla. U'lahalon, when the Torah speaks about a regular get, huksav v'kosav lo sefer krisis. Ma'lahalon, the pasuk is speaking about a shtar. Here too, Afkan is taken by a shtar. So I would only know that you could partially pay somebody out. A kul b'shtar, or you could free the eved with a shtar shichrur, when the shtar shichrur is for the entire eved, shivcha. Chetzi b'shtar minayin. How do we know that you could partially free an eved with a shtar shichrur as well? Tamalayim v'hefta loin of tesa, a chupsa loin nitan lo. Ma k'shtar l'kesef. Ma kesef ben kula b'chetzioi. You could partially pay out. Af shtar nami ben kulei ben chetzio. So says the Gemara Bishlam al Rav Yosef, Basadi Taisev, after Rav Yosef was refuted, he said that the Rabbanim, that the Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing both by kesef and by shtar. And this Braisa will represent the opinion of Rebbe, who says that both by kesef and by shtar, you could have partial freedom. Ella Rebbe, Ella Rabbi, according to Rabbi, everybody agrees that by Kesev you could be partially paid out. The Machloikas says Bishtar, Reisha, so the beginning of the Reisha that says that you could pay somebody out, you could pay him out partially, represents the Rehakel. The Sefer at the end of the Reisha represents Rebbe, Amulcha Rebbe, in. That's the way I'm going to explain the Reisha. Reisha, everybody agrees that by Kesev you could be partially paid out, and the Sefer that says that that is possible even by the by Shtar is Rebbe. Ravashi says a simpler teretz. The Rashi says Rebbe he, the entire Braisa is Rebbe, because Rebbe holds that in all cases you can be partially freed, both by Kesef and by Shtar. That's exactly what the Braisa is saying. And yes, the Rabbanan happened to agree with Rebbe in the Reisha, but that Braisa is not the Rabbanan. That Braisa is completely articulating the opinion of Rebbe.